Welcome to BrainMachineNetwork.com. Yes, 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 yes. Woo!
Just give a little bit of time. With Michael Brucey and Diego Lopez.
Yeah, there's a lot of times. Yeah, Brucey's a very Italian name, but I've
so I wonder if he's Argentinian.
Oh, I mean, maybe.
Because there's a large Italian population in...
In Argentina?
Yeah.
There's also a large German population in Argentina.
Yeah.
I happened around, like, yeah, the late 40s, I think. That was the first big laugh I ever got doing stand-up.
Was, you just pointed out?
I'm like... Our Nazi... No, I was at the... the mic at Pete's Candy Store, which was the first mic I ever did, but, like, I was, like, 3 weeks in or something like that, 3 or 4 weeks in... And I was walking on stage, and they call my name, and then they're another nice, Diego. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm still walking on stage. I'm not at the stage yet. And I'm like, there's another Diego here? And they're like, yeah, that guy. And I turn around, and it's like a whiter guy than me.
Yeah.
And I get on stage, and I'm like, I don't know what's weirder. Oh, I'm like, are you Hispanic? And he goes, no. And I'm like, where are you from? He's like, Germany. I'm like, I don't know what's weirder, me not looking white and being Hispanic, or you being German and not Hispanic and being named Diego, or something like that. And that got a little bit of laugh, and I'm like, are your parents hiding from something in the 40s? Like, that got, like, my first laugh. I was like, oh, shit, all right.
Yeah.
Now I'm looking for my second one. I'm just really hoping.
Dude, I can't wait for you to get your second one.
It's going to be cool, right?
You can start using some of my jokes.
I did.
Yeah, that's true. Last night,
I kind of did.
Last night he did one of my jokes.
But it was very much in the moment. I didn't think about it. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's just, like, a really good joke.
A riff.
You riffed.
He riffed one of my jokes.
I riffed.
A pre-written joke or just a riff that you'd heard him make before?
No, it's a pre-written joke.
It's one of his jokes, but I didn't. It's not the same topic. It's just a wording inside of the joke. Because his joke is about having $2,000, and he said, I had $2,000 once, and I can't stop talking about it. And I have a joke about squirting, and it got an applause break, and then I said, I made a woman come once, and I can't stop talking about it. And I was and that's not part of the joke. I just kind of came out of the moment. But
goddamn right, it's not part of the joke. I put my fucking foot down.
I will. You walk on stage, and he's like, no.
I said, no. Part of me, crowd.
The power just went out suddenly.
The fire alarm went off.
It comes back on, and I'm in Joker makeup on the stage. Oh, everyone can tell a joke now.
That's fun.
It would have been funnier if the lights went out and it came back and I was the professional wrestler Sting.
Oh, dude, that'd be hilarious.
But
have you been in for Halloween?
Sting?
Yeah.
No.
I feel like you have everything in your closet to be Sting.
No, I don't have a leather duster.
I feel like we can get you one.
You know what? I actually almost have nothing.
Really?
Because it's a leather duster.
Leather duster. The what does he wear? Like a baseball?
No, he has a baseball bat.
Yeah.
Covered in electrical tape.
Those mechanics gloves.
Mechanics gloves, and he has like a scorpion on his shirt.
That's a sick Halloween costume.
Okay, hold on. I don't know who Sting is.
Okay.
But I would like to play a game where you have to pitch me on Sting in one sentence.
Oh, okay.
He sounds amazing.
We're gonna play a lot of games. I think this episode.
Yeah,
okay. I can already feel it.
Sting. Okay. So Sting is if The Crow was a professional wrestler.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I get it.
That's exactly.
Particularly based on the things that you just...
Yeah. Because he used to be... Okay, so let's...
I want to talk about this because this is the generation of wrestling I watched the most.
So Sting's original gimmick was that he was like a California surfer guy. He had a blonde flat top, like a bleach blonde
top. Yeah, so good.
And he had like neon pink and neon green face paint on.
Almost like the Ultimate Warrior.
Almost a little bit like the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just that was his gimmick for forever.
He was always WCW, right?
He was always WCW. Okay. And that was his gimmick for forever. And then in like the late 90s, there was like when I don't know, were you a wrestling fan at all?
I was
at least kind of like aware of it.
Yeah, I was somewhat aware of it. I remember my freshman year of high school, I realized that was a way I could make friends with guys at school. They were into wrestling, and I was like, cool, I can be into this, and then that just like petered out pretty quickly.
I was like
I don't know how much longer I can
it's a lot because I always feel bad talking about wrestling because there's like so much bad. It's like the same as comic books.
You need to be like, in on it.
Yeah. Because there's so much, there's like, okay, there's this backstory, and then there's so much more backstory
right.
to that backstory.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But so basically Sting was that character, like the kind of California surfer guy, and then in the late 90s was like when like the NWO became popular and they were kind of like the bad boys, you know, and they did that, and then Sting kind of went away for a while, and then there was like a for months there was like this mysterious figure up in the rafters.
Oh.
And you could never really see who it was, and it was kind of, and he just had like a leather kind of duster on. You couldn't really see his face. And then eventually it was revealed that it was Sting, who had like grown out his hair and it was dyed black, and he had like white face paint with like black lines in it, kind of like almost like black metal corpse paint-ish. Mm-hmm. And then he had like a new logo, and he like, but he was like kind of like a lone wolf character, like fighting everyone.
Interesting.
And so he came out with like a leather duster and like gloves and a metal baseball bat.
So there was
it's
a
so
time
dumb.
Where he
was fun, dude.
There like was a time where he wasn't fighting anyone, but all attention would go to the rafters.
Yes.
And they'd be like, there's someone
there'd
up
be a,
there.
A spotlight would go up
I
to the
rafters.
I assume
now as an adult, he must have gone through an injury, and that's how they kept him involved before he could actually. Because I don't remember seeing him
so.
Wrestle. I just remember him being in the rafters a lot.
It was a long time. It was a long buildup that they would never do now.
Right.
But I think it's the thing where Sting was such, because Sting wrestled in WCW from when he started wrestling until it ended.
Mm-hmm.
And then he the fact that he ever went to WWE was like the biggest thing that ever
right.
happened, because he was like one of the only people who was like a superstar who never wrestled for Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Mm. And then he eventually did.
I remember that one, sorry, where NWO's in the ring and there's like a bunch of fake Stings.
Yeah.
And then they're like the NWO's beating them all up, and then the guy takes, I can't remember, Hulk Hogan or someone takes off this guy, the one last Sting's fake mask, and it's Sting.
It's the real Sting.
And like freaks out.
Yeah.
It's so good, man.
It's so fun.
It was so fun. I remember seeing that match where Hulk Hogan fought Sting, but it wasn't a pay-per-view.
Yeah, it was just
and
like
I remember
a Nitro
like,
match, right?
I'm like, yeah, I remember like begging my parents, like, no, this would be on pay-per-view. You gotta let me stay up and watch this. And they're like, fine, we don't give a shit. Like, it was fun.
What?
That was fun.
Percentage of your Halloween costumes in your life have been wrestling?
Almost none.
Oh.
Almost none, because it's very – because I never want to do the ones that everyone does. Like, I never want to do Hulk Hogan or Randy Savage or Ultimate Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And those are going to – and then all the other –
Trish?
I'll do Lita. but then
is that Trish Stratus?
Yeah,
See, you got it.
That was the time when I was watching – it was Triple H was at –
His peak.
He was dating Vince McMahon.
Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah,
they're still married.
They're still married
and they have children.
Oh, wow.
I'm one of their kids.
And Triple H is
you're one of their kids?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize.
I'll spit water at the end of this fucking
thing. Yeah. And Triple H is now the COO of the WWE, for real.
Oh. So I guess that wasn't his peak.
No, I mean,
performance-wise, probably as a performer.
Was it
probably.
Before he got really blown up on steroids, or was it when
he
was
really filled out?
He was fucking. There was one point where he's like so big that he's like puffy.
Yeah.
Where it's the thing where you're like on so much steroids, you're not even like cut anymore.
No, it's just
what
weird.
Percentage of wrestlers are on steroids? Most?
Would
you say?
I don't know. At the
like,
because. I'd say there's I would never say none, but there was a huge court case in the 90s with Vince McMahon about wrestlers using steroids and stuff. So now it's like against policy. Like they do drug testing in the WWE and you can get suspended for, I think, it's like a real lenient 3 strikes policy.
Right.
In my opinion, wrestling, out of any other sport that I can think of, other than maybe like cycling at the highest level, but that's competitive, so no. They should be on steroids.
You should absolutely let.
They should 100% be on steroids. Their schedule is so...
Just because of recovery time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Their schedules are so difficult, and how much work goes into just staying in shape while doing all of that. Like, it's really mind-numbing to me how they're able to sustain a career like that over the years. Wrestling is so hard on your body. I think it should be part of they should be on it, but obviously in a controlled manner, and you know, with doctors who know what they're doing. But it's like the big issue is kids look up to them, and then if they know that they're doing steroids, like, oh, let's do steroids, like, but you don't know yet. It's like, that's the danger part of it.
Right.
But it's like, steroids by themselves are not not as dangerous as I think people think.
Well,
they
we use the word steroids at this point also to be like a catch-all.
Yes,
for
absolutely.
So many different
absolutely.
Things. So you know. We're not talking about like horse steroids.
At this point.
We're not talking about like things that you just find in a barn and inject into your body and hope for the best. but they should be able to do that too.
Should,
yeah, you know?
I think
they're
you
adults.
Should only be able to use horse steroids. If
yeah, that's how we can level the playing field.
Only horse steroids.
I feel like we should open that up in all sports.
The thing is that I'm okay with steroids across the board.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fine. Mm. I think that it is weird when it comes to stuff, especially like cycling, when it is like such a competition and you can like cheat. So it would be a thing where it's like everyone would – like some people would start using them, which then would force people who don't want to use them to have to use them to meet the mm-hmm. the level of the people who
– To make it
a
level playing field.
But I also think maybe you should do it like weightlifting or bodybuilding, where they have like
leagues.
They have leagues of that don't test.
But the problem is people are going to cheat in the secondary league.
Yeah,
that's so no one's going to be like, let me do steroids with everyone else doing steroids. People are going to be like, let me do steroids in the league where no one's doing steroids.
Yeah, but that's the thing where it's cheat. Like stringent testing in the non-steroids leagues.
Yeah, yeah.
But steroids and any performance enhancing thing is connected to resources, and so inherently
oh,
people
right.
who have more resources
that's a great
have
point.
Such a leg up already just in terms of like, you know, the leg up that you have in terms of what school you go to and the access to what coaches you have in mm-hmm. any sport, and then on top of that now performance is overwhelmingly tied to a drug or a substance that can only be yeah gotten through having this much money, that you've just completely tipped the scales of what any
fair
yeah, yeah.
Very good point. Very good point. That's James Hamilton, everyone. How are you doing? Welcome to a Little Time Podcast.
Hey, how are
you? I'm Diego Lopez. Very excited to be here physically only. Brucey is here.
Hey, how you doing?
That's my boyfriend. I love you so much.
How are you?
Producer Leif is here, but he's a little away from the mic. He's waving.
He's waving.
Hey, it's me, Leif. Whatever. I love recording.
Fucking bitch. I hate you.
Leif, how's your week going?
Hey, it's going great. I actually got a new soundboard.
Whoa.
And now I get to lay in bed with my old soundboard and kiss it.
That's beautiful. Thanks for letting us record.
You're welcome. Can you kiss me?
Yes, I can. Here you
Thank
go.
You so much. I run a podcast studio and I make everyone pay me in sex. Me, producer Leif. I make everyone pay me insects.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I can't believe we've done this many episodes. It's the first time I did a Leif impression.
Yeah, it's,
which
it's,
also it's not accurate at all.
I mean,
except for the part where he makes you pay him in sex.
That's not just as factual.
Yeah, that's just true. If you talk, I'll kill you.
it'll just highlight how bad the impression is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Please.
Yeah, we're talking about steroids. That's fun. How are you? You're doing well. Good to see
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
James is a comedian.
I'm
doing
well. We came in heavy,
dude.
Yeah.
That's how we go. That's how we like to come
Ooh.
In.
Ooh. Yeah. Do you think if you could take, like, what was that fucking movie?
The Limitless.
Limitless.
Hold on. How did you know what movie he was talking about?
I could tell he's thinking about a steroid, but for comedy.
Oh.
And for your brain.
And for your brain.
Okay.
Would you guys take the Limitless drug?
I didn't watch the movie.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, me neither.
But, okay.
Yeah, I haven't either.
It's just that you can use more of your brain. Because you know how they say we use like 10%
That's
of our brain at any time?
That's a stupid thing to say.
Yeah. You can use like 100% of your brain.
You like Phenomenon, like the movie Phenomenon starring John Travolta where he gets...
Is he an angel in that?
No, that's Michael.
No, that's Michael.
I saw that movie just because it was named Michael.
That's great.
Really?
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, I watch a movie named Diego.
I mean, yeah, I would definitely... Yeah.
How many times have you read the King James Bible?
Oh, numerous times. Because I'm overjoyed every time I see it. I'm like, every time I look over, I'm like, it's me. I pick it up. I take a quick read. And
you take off your headphones and it's James Brown. And you're like, oh, look at King James Bible.
Yeah.
So let's say, because every drug has a negative side effect. What is the negative side effect?
I'm already so sad using 10% of my brain.
Right. You're so
There's
depressed.
No way I wouldn't have super depression using 100% of my brain.
If you'd be like that alien from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy that they're just really sad. You ever see that movie?
No.
Or book, apparently.
No, but.
I've seen the book, like laying around.
The movie's fantastic.
Isn't
I bet the book
shelf?
Is great, too.
Leif, do you have that on your shelf?
I bet you fucking love that movie.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
No, it's not enough drawings in it. Whatever.
it's not thick enough to close around my penis. It's the only way I can get off.
Leif's a sound guy. He only likes those cards that when you open it up, it plays a song.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are his favorite books.
Happy birthday.
And he's just like,
beautiful.
This is my favorite book.
Well,
that's my Leif impression.
Yeah,
hey, it's me, Leif. Leif the sound guy.
Who the fuck? I didn't see.
He's always very horny. No,
of course. If the limitless drug, again, usually the better something is, the worse the side effects. Like, it's rare that it's not that, apparently, in like, you know, movie stuff, not in real life. I don't know.
Right.
Chemotherapy and stuff.
Also has very serious side effects.
That was my point. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're right.
It does?
Uh-huh. You're just doing it for the hell of it?
I thought it would be fun.
I'm so tired of shaving my head.
I'm going to get chemotherapy once a week.
those lazy boys are very comfortable. Yeah, take it. I don't know. We haven't set a standard for what the negative. You're just very sad.
I'd be very sad.
The smarter you get, the sadder you are. That's just a fact.
Well, so that's why I think that there's a lot of information out there about why we can only remember a certain amount of things.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard this?
No, please tell me.
Your brain sorts through and only can remember like what is important, and you start to lose touch with reality when everything is of equal importance, mm-hmm. right? So you remember the important people in your life and the important events in your life mm-hmm. and the important places, but if you could remember everything at all times and you knew all this stuff, everything mm-hmm. becomes of equal importance, so your life begins to lose meaning.
Because
if everything's meaningful, nothing's meaningful. All right, well, I'll see you guys later. I imagine we're not friends anymore.
Thank you so much, Dr. Bitch.
Jesus Christ.
No, that makes sense. I get that. That for sure is terrifying. I think
sadness is the thing that would happen.
Yeah, you'd just be sadder.
So sad.
You'd be...
Just be crushed by depression
yeah.
at all times.
You'd just walk around constantly going, I know too much.
Right.
Just at all times.
I hate when I know one secret. I hate
that.
It just
weighs me down all day.
I just have to think about it. I'm just like, all right, who am I allowed to... I just want... If you tell me something, I'm allowed to tell everyone it.
Yeah.
Or don't tell me it. But don't bring it up. My least favorite thing in the world is when someone's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Oh, actually, I can't.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to beat you to death with a fucking pool cue.
Here's what
I hate you so much.
Here's what I've learned. Because I've done that kind of stuff where I start and I'm like, oh, wait, you're not the person in the certain circle I can tell this.
Yeah,
to.
I assume this was a barbed attack at you.
Oh.
Very personal.
No, I don't know. No, because I think we have an open lane of communication.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I couldn't be more open. What I've started doing is just lying about the thing is, but make it embarrassing about myself.
Mm.
So, like, let's say I have a secret about Mike, and I start telling it to you, and I go, wait, and you're like, oh, come on, just tell me. I'm like, all right, well, I don't change my underwear every month. And they're like, wait, what? And you're like, yep, I just wear same pair of underwear for the whole month. And people are like, dude, that sucks. Why'd you tell me that? I'm like, aha, now it's about me and not my friend Mike.
Yeah.
People think I'm gross.
People think I'm gross and bad at conversation.
They're like, why would you bring that up? I couldn't tell you.
Why would my story about dating bring up a bad underwear story? That's just how it is. So let's see, I'll take it if it was a suppository, not if it was a pill.
Oh.
I don't know if I want to know that much. That's the thing. I already don't like how much I know now.
Did he just get smarter?
Wait.
We should watch this movie. We're going to talk about it.
Who's it?
I like that.
Who's Limitless?
None of the three of
Limitless
us.
is a very handsome Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper. What's the Scarlett Johansson one?
Oh, what is that one? It's also a singular name.
Man, we got to know stuff before we start talking about it.
See, so I would say that the Limitless drug would help on this particular podcast.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It would make me so much better at talking.
Upgrade. We can talk about that. We watched that. That's kind of in the same vein.
Kind of.
Did you ever see Upgrade?
No.
Oh, man, it's pretty good. Fake Tom Hardy gets a chip implanted and he can just beat the shit out of people. It's fun.
Ooh. And there's a chip and he can cede control of his body to the chip. And
oh,
then he's really good at fighting.
And there's a really great scene where he's beating the hell out of people, but he, as a person, is like, whoa, holy shit!
it's
really, really smart, funny idea. It's very good.
I assumed for years, and I'm realizing I might be wrong. Well, I assumed for years that Tom Hardy was one of the Hardy brothers from wrestling. He is not.
No.
Oh, not
right?
at all.
Okay. I mean, at some point.
Yeah.
At some point, I was like, yeah, okay. But I think it was probably, what was that movie that came out? We're going to do this just the whole time.
Yeah.
What was the World War II, the one that just came
Dunkirk?
Out? Dunkirk? Yeah, Dunkirk. Mm. Yeah.
I fucking knew it.
I
I did not see Dunkirk.
I saw it. I thought that was boring.
Yeah?
Yeah. I knew what the big hoopla was. He was good in it, but he just sat in the plane the whole time.
Yeah, he just sat in the plane and had a gravelly voice. He sounded like Leif the Sound Guy, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I don't know why people keep hiding his beautiful voice in movies.
And his beautiful face.
Beautiful mouth and voice in movies. Because in Bane, they cover his mouth.
Uh-huh.
And in Dunkirk, he wears a mask all the time. And it's like, yeah, your fucking lips. I want to look at
him. Yeah, because, that's the only thing that happens on the scene, though. Mm. Like, when it's his mouth, nobody's listening.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? You're just looking at that mouth.
Let me
quick question. Tom Hardy, British?
Yeah.
Okay. Does that make him more attractive?
I think so.
Mm. Yeah. I think my thinking on that has changed. I always assumed that that would make people more attractive, but I think the older I get, the more I'm like, I'm not falling for this.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not falling for this.
Man,
people have been falling for this for hundreds of years, and it stops here. My name is James Frederick Hamilton. I'm clearly English.
Yeah. And then you meet someone with an accent, and you're like, God damn it. You got me.
Yeah. Yeah,
This one time. Just this one time.
This never happened before.
Yeah.
Because I'm different.
Keira Knightley is British.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
but she's also gorgeous. So it's like, how much is it the physical attraction?
Yeah.
And how much is it the accent? Because I can't think of a...
Yeah, it's like a weird thing where you're like, oh, I think this is why, it's like, I'm really attracted to this person. And they also have this cool thing where you're like, they're just really hot.
Yeah, they're just...
And they also happen to have this extra thing. But if they didn't have that thing, you'd probably still think they were really hot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Keira Knightley just had the same voice as, like, Drew Barrymore, you'd be like, yeah.
Yeah. So
no difference.
Still on board.
Yeah. I think that would sound a little bit like this. What if I just could do a perfect Drew Barrymore?
It'd be crazy because I don't think she has a very defined speech pattern or like an inflection that like makes people like, if you close your eyes and put on Drew Barrymore talking, I don't think you'd be able to be like, oh, that's Drew Barrymore.
Ooh. I wish we could do that because I think you could.
Yeah.
I think
simply because we've just heard her voice our whole lives.
Our whole lives.
I pump it in through my headphones.
Her voice.
You call it pumping it in?
Pump it into my head while I'm sleeping. I pump it in.
Well, there's another.
Hey, let me pump it into that record. Or fuck me. I thought I had it.
That you know those videos we like to watch on YouTube? There's a guy who's like a speech pathologist or a speech. I don't know if pathologist is the right word.
It's close enough.
Yeah. But he like breaks down like movies that have accents and like he it's really, really good. There's a new one.
Is there a new one?
Came out yesterday.
Ooh. Did you watch it already?
I watched it twice.
You fucking bitch.
it's so good.
Watch stuff like that with me.
I know, but you're asleep. I don't know what to do.
I was asleep?
Watch other things.
Nah, you gotta... I already clicked on it. Variety, I think does it. Is it Variety?
What time this morning?
8?
I was awake.
All right.
Next time, come knock on my door.
I'm just eating oatmeal. I'm like, hey, come into my bed and watch this with me. I assume you sleep till 10 usually now.
I got a lot of stuff going on in my life.
Okay.
What time do you average
wake up?
Waking up?
Lately, it's been about 9.
Okay.
But it used to be anywhere between 10 and 12.
Okay.
But now I'm just like, I would like to get a start of my day a little bit earlier. And also today I got a bunch of work texts really early in the morning.
Oh, no.
Which is very rare.
Right.
Because I walk dogs. So it's not like I'm like, you have to be in this meeting, blah, blah, blah. People are just like, hey, my dog is diarrhea or whatever.
My dog is diarrhea.
Yeah. My dog has turned to diarrhea.
I renamed my dog diarrhea, and I don't know what to do about it.
I got a tag and everything.
Yeah. He's a puddle. You have to walk the puddle.
Yeah. You scrape it up, move it around the city.
That'd be nice for me.
Yeah.
What time do you wake up?
Depends on what clients or day it is, but usually around 7:45, 7. Mm-hmm.
You're the type of guy that I assume if I saw you walking down the street at like 8:30 a.m., I'd be like, that man's already done so much today. Just got a sense of purpose by the way you.
Thank you so much.
Carry yourself. Yeah.
Thank you so much. No, I'm usually very tired in the morning because it's hard to like. Physically, like the training in the morning and then the comedy at night, like it drains me in both ways. Like it obviously physically is so drain, like or fighting is so draining physically, but comedy is so draining emotionally and mentally.
Right.
That's just like I'm just fucking done. And like when I wake up in the morning, like really like
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Plus, you live with me, which is not great.
Oh, it's a lot.
It is really hard to live with me, and I thank you, everyone, for your service as being my roommates, all of my 500 former roommates.
How many of your old roommates – have you had a bunch of roommates?
Yeah, I've had a fair amount.
Yeah,
a decent amount.
How many did you have that were, like, bad?
Oh, this is
– like, no redeeming qualities.
One? Yeah.
So you mean, like, not
– no redeeming – like, they're fine, so but they did
– I don't think
shit.
I've ever had, like, a person that through and through I thought was, like, a bad person.
Or just even – not even a bad person, but just, like, a person you're, like, I cannot live with them for one more day than I legally have to.
I had one, but the situation itself was also the problem. So it was after I lived in the gym for a little while, my first apartment back into like living with people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It
in
was
like a home.
Like a home. It was like a railroad. I did not own a bed. I had a jiu-jitsu mat. It's about 2 inches wide, and I slept in the railroad that had no windows, and I didn't have no furniture, and the main bedroom, which is one of the exits, was locked, so I couldn't go that way to leave the room. His bedroom was the only way to get into the bathroom and the kitchen, going through his bedroom.
Right.
He would have a different person, a different guy over every night for sex reasons. And it was
not for friendship.
Not for friendship. For sexual reasons. And it was very loud. And I would be just stuck in my room. And I would hear so many things. And it's just like a nightmare. I couldn't sleep. It was just really, really like insane nightmare. And one morning, the last straw was one morning I like creeped out to like go start my day. And I kicked something, like I knocked over a jar or something, and like I went to go pick it up, and I noticed it was my jar of coconut oil that he was using for certain things. And I was like, oh, cool, that's only $14.
We'll say to lubricate.
Lubricant for the anus. So that was infuriating. But that's about
because you didn't support his lifestyle.
Because I hate what he was doing because of God. Because of God reasons.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that was...
That's about it.
Yeah, I feel like... I think it's rare to have somebody who is like just an actual bad person, and I think what's more common is a situation like this, where you're just like something about this living setup and our lifestyles are just not like compatible. Whether that's you having to get up early and somebody wanting to stay up all night, or
I don't think he's a bad guy. It's just fucking frustrating. I just wanted to sleep. Yeah, at one point. Wrapped the pillow around my head and then wrapped my blanket around my head and just laid cold. And I was like, oh, I hate this. I can't sleep.
God, that's fucking bleak, man.
Yeah, dude, I was really depressed. I was really sad. I wasn't depressed, but I was sad.
I lived with friends for many, many years. Like, my roommates would be people that I'd already known in different capacities.
Yeah.
So it was usually pretty good. But there was this one guy who, I love him. He's still one of my best friends. If he listens to this podcast, I'm very sorry that I'm about to tell this story, but he is one of the dirtiest people I've ever met in my life. And we always knew that, but he was such a lovable, great guy that we would deal with it. But then one of the compromises that we came to is that we would chip in and we would have a cleaning person come over and would tidy up the house and we'd all pitch in. And that way we
make it livable.
Yeah. Make it livable. And she cleaned up his room and then came out and said, I will not be cleaning here anymore, and left.
Jesus.
Because when she pulled his bed aside, he had just been dropping condoms in between his bed and the wall.
Oh, my God.
Okay. But
what
else are you supposed to put? That's my question to you.
I'm surprised you used condoms.
Yeah, that's a fair.
I'm surprised you didn't say the word shit.
Man, that's a...
That was a hard one.
Whew, that poor woman.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder how many there were.
It's so weird when guys like who live in such squalor like that still have sex.
Still get laid.
Oh, he's so handsome.
Yeah.
And he's well-dressed. He's successful professionally. So anytime I see a very like Clark Kent looking guy in New York that looks like him, I'm like, I know what
picture up.
I know what you're like.
Just put him in the garbage can.
Just put a garbage can next to the bed. There
yeah.
you are.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times men on the street have pleaded with me. I don't know what you're talking about. Leave me alone.
Like, just put it in the garbage can, man. Just put it in the garbage can.
Yeah.
I had a roommate once. So when I moved to Albany, I was like 19. I moved into a 4-bedroom apartment. It was me, two women. It's so weird because we're like, I don't know, whatever. Because I hate saying girls because it feels weird, but we like, say women about like a 19-year-old, I guess, whatever. Me, two women I knew from home, and then like a guy I had never met before. Mm. And it was like one of their friends from school. And he was nice. Like, he was a cool guy. He played a lot of acoustic guitar mm-hmm. in the common area. Nice. But it was fine. I was like, this is my first apartment. That's what's going to happen. and then, but we lived together for like a year. And then we liked each other so much, but we wanted to get a bigger place. So then we moved into it. We moved into like a, was it a five? I think it was like a 5-bedroom house. Mm-hmm. And, but so then we had to fill the 5th room. And then one of his friends took it. And this guy was like a fucking real weirdo.
Okay.
Like, he looked like a drawing of a of like a like an evil nerd. Like, he was like real skinny and had like jet black hair that kind of just like fell forward and had glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, there's something off about this guy. And the only way to describe him is this isn't true, but he felt like the kind of guy that had a bunch of like who had like all the accoutrement for a snake, but didn't own a snake.
Okay.
You know, it's like a tank and a light.
Yeah,
and
just had all that. Sadder. But someone who dreams of having a snake but can't quite pull it together.
Oh yeah. So it was the five. It was the 4 people who lived in that original apartment. This guy, and then my girlfriend at the time moved in with us, and then everyone else's partners were always over too. So it was like a real fucking wild house.
Yeah.
But one night, I think it was like a Halloween. I mean, maybe we had a Halloween party or something. But the evil nerd guy got like, I don't exactly remember. I think he got like really drunk and like broke a bottle and like was like his, like he had a cut on his hand.
Mm-hmm.
So he was bleeding everywhere. And when people tried to like help him, he did that weird thing that like kids like that do where he started like flailing at people. And he like kind of hit one of our roommates. So we're like, all right, you got to go.
Jesus.
You have to kick him out. And then in moved a guy that I kind of knew who, of course, brought a drum set. And he was learning the drums, which was not great
so
either.
It was loud and bad.
Yeah. And then my relationship was almost immediately crumbling as soon as we moved in together,
mm-hmm.
Which was great. Because what happened was we dated when I lived on Long Island. And then we broke up. And then I moved to Albany and I didn't know anyone. And I got really lonely. So we started talking again.
Mm-hmm.
And then she moved to Albany. And I was like, oh, this was a mistake.
Jesus.
Oh, and then we had to live together for a while.
Oh, you fought through it?
We fought.
Well, you definitely did half of that.
Yeah. So she moved there in, like, June. And I think by, like, September, I was like, I've made a mistake. I've made a huge mistake. And then we finally broke up in, like, January of that year.
Wait, and how old were you at this point?
At this point, I was like 20.
Okay, so.
And, yeah.
Moving in with somebody when you're 20 is
yeah.
A tough.
Yeah, I've lived with two women, uh-huh. And both of them was before the age of 23.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
And then never since. I mean, I've lived with women, but not the women that I was dating.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But yeah, so we broke up in like January. We broke up and I immediately went on tour, obviously. Very
you
cool
gotta.
Move. And then I came back. I moved out of the house for about 2 weeks and I lived in the corner of a living room for a little while. And then I found out that someone had overdosed on heroin in the same corner. So then I was like, I don't think I want to live here anymore. So then what I did was a very smart move. I've probably told this story on here before. Was I moved back into the house I lived in with my ex-girlfriend, but into a different bedroom.
Jesus Christ.
And that was good.
Wait, yeah. Was she there?
She was still lived there.
She was still living
so
there.
So she still lived there. So then I moved into the room that the evil nerd kid got kicked out of and then the little drummer boy was in.
I know it's not his name, but Dexter is his name to me.
Honestly, I think it's pretty close. Yeah, and then the guy who played the drums moved out or
little
whatever.
Drummer boy.
Little drummer boy, he moved out.
So then I took the room, and the room – I don't think I ever really went in there when – because I don't like going in other people's bedrooms. Like, I think I've been in Diego's bedroom an all right amount of times, but not like a lot. So I never – and I went in there, and the room was – it was the attic that they just turned into a bedroom.
Yeah.
And it was like you walk in, and there's like three steps up, and then you're in the room, and it's kind of like, you know, where the roof is meeting at a point.
Right.
And you kind of have to like walk sideways a little bit. And then where the bed was, there was another little step up.
Oh.
Like just like one step up to where the bed was, and it was a twin size bed, and it was just like the room, and the room was painted like Superman colors, like that blue and that red, and it was like jarring to wake up in. So it's
really
like,
a place for healing, personal, really to get your life together.
Brutal. And of course, the first time I brought a girl home, my ex like walked out of her bedroom, which was directly next to the stairs to go up to my bedroom.
Sure, but that's real dumb of you.
Okay, but
crazy.
Okay, but I lived there. And it was like...
I mean, so many of the parts are dumb. Like, living there is the
dumb. The equation, really the equation going all the way back to when the four of you decided you wanted more space.
Yeah.
You were put on a collision course with that moment at those stairs. And really going back all the way to the four people being like... We should get a bigger place. Yeah, we could find a fifth person.
Yeah.
No problem. From that moment, you were doomed.
Because the four of us, the apartment was kind of small, but it was like, it felt fine.
You had a good thing going.
We had a good thing going. We got a cat in there, and I still own him to this day.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't all bad.
It wasn't all bad, no. Yeah. And I'm still friends with
Chuck lived in Albany.
Yeah, that's where we got him. We got him from a family on Craigslist in Schenectady, New York, who... their cat had babies, and
Chuck was a baby.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I have pictures of him. He's so small. My cat is so big and fat. It's crazy how long and fat he is.
It's crazy.
Do you get along with the cat?
They're very much so.
Mm.
He gets along with the cat in a way that everyone gets along with the cat.
Yeah.
In that when the cat feels like it.
Of course.
He's not like really. He is kind of mean, but
he's a little mean. But like, just he's like, just don't touch my belly, and we're fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everything else, he's like, okay. He hates when you pick him up, but I keep doing it.
We do it all the time.
Yeah,
but I've been picking up his back legs when he walks in front of me, and he's like,
But can you imagine what that would feel like if something that was that much bigger than you was picking you up?
That's one of my fetishes. I want to be crushed by a giant woman. Just her foot. You know that. Is it Monty Python and the Life of Brian? There's something where like a big foot comes down and crushes like a cartoon character.
Yeah.
I want that to happen to me so I can come.
But it's in a heel. It's in a high heel.
That's the only way you can come.
Yeah, no, it has to be a flat foot shoe. I've had a high heel incident once.
Oh.
I was at I've only been to like one. I've been to a couple strip clubs, but I only went to one where I like was a part of everything happening.
Right.
And it was one on Long Island
where
called Blush. I was stripping.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good name.
It's called Blush. But it was one of those places that it was like the women danced on like a stage behind the bar.
Mm.
And then afterwards they came up to you and were just like, give me money. And you're like, I hate this.
I saw you dance.
Yeah. But a woman, one of the co-workers, employees of Blush, she came and she sat on my lap and she whispered in my ear. She went, my pussy's hungry for money. And I went, I don't like this. And then she took her high heel shoe and just dug it into my penis.
Oh.
And I also didn't like that.
That's a lot. That's a lot happening.
And then I tried to take money out of the ATM, obviously. And they're like, oh, it's a $20 fee.
Of course it is.
Yeah, that's where they make all their money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I met a guy recently. It was like a friend of a friend. He was talking about how he has, I think, Bank of America, and they pay back any ATM fees.
Yeah.
I mean, because he has like a lot of money. So he has like an account where they'll pay back all your ATM fees if you go to a not Bank of America. Yeah. So you have a lot of money.
No, I don't. I have a bank account that doesn't have any physical locations.
Oh.
So part of them saying, come be a bank or come bank with us is them saying, but you can use any ATM. We don't have any ATMs, so you can use all of them.
Yeah, that's great. So he said what he does to fuck with them is he takes out money at the strip club like a lot. He said he'll take out like $100 six times at the strip club. So then it accrues $120 in fees, and then they just have to pay him back.
Oh god,
who is this person?
It was like a friend of a friend. It was like a guy who because we were talking about strip clubs, because they were talking about going to Pumps,
And I was like,
it's cool that my money's definitely paying for your friend.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's yeah, it was a friend of ours. I'll tell you who okay. I don't want to.
Yeah, no problem.
I don't need to. It's air not, everyone's yeah, secrets. But yeah, I thought that was such a funny thing that he's like, yeah, fuck Bank of America. He's like, I'm just going to cost them a bunch of money.
Yeah, you know, there's part of me that's like, this guy sounds not fun. But then I'm like, wait a second. He's getting Bank of America to just, he's like exploiting something that Bank of America said they would do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
The only person that's getting hurt is Bank of America in this.
Yeah, well, and maybe Diego.
And maybe Diego. Yeah. What I do is I keep cash on me at all times, and then I'm like an ATM, which is I do half. You give me a dollar back more. So I give you $60. I'm like, well, Venmo me $61.
Oh.
Or $60 in a retweet.
Oh.
That's what I do.
Oh, that's where your success on Twitter comes from.
Yeah, all my success on Twitter.
Oh.
But it depends on how many followers you have.
Absolutely.
Right. So the price goes down the more followers that somebody
has? If you have a lot of followers, one retweet. If you have like a couple hundred, six or seven retweets.
Yeah.
I was bartering with somebody, and I was like, they're like, oh, what if you give me money? I was like, what if I just give you a couple retweets? But it was, I think it was someone who had like many more followers than me. So like, well, I don't care. No.
Yeah.
Just give me. Oh, no. It was with Ari.
Oh, okay. That's funny.
And I remember we were bartering. I was like, oh, I'll give you a couple retweets. He's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I was like, a lot.
So many things.
Yeah.
How long have you been in New York now?
I've been in New York for...
Why'd you smile like that?
Oh, I'm smiling because I just don't know if the listeners can hear the dog barking.
They love that. That's what they tune in every week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
That's Howie the dog.
Rustic.
Yeah.
Howie.
I've been in New York for almost 3 years now.
And when are you going to leave? When are you get the fuck out of my city?
Ah, great.
Almost 3 years? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Holy shit. All right.
Yeah, that's
I feel like I met you pretty early on when you moved to New York, right?
Very early.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I don't... I feel like I met both of you pretty early on.
I think you were one of those guys that I just saw you and immediately I was like, yeah, I like this.
Yeah.
This is the kind of guy I want to talk to.
Yeah.
I
feel like I saw you.
White.
I feel the same way.
Straight.
White guy. I was like, I get his perspective.
Yeah. And it's good.
This is what comedy needs right now. Mm-hmm.
No, that's just
this guy.
That's just true. I know. I looked at the thing. We don't need you. I'm just kidding. We do need you. But I checked. But thank you. Sorry. I was just assaulting producer Leif for doing his job.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fun.
Atlanta? Where'd you come from?
New Orleans.
New Orleans. No.
The Atlanta of Louisiana.
Yes. Atlanta of a little bit more west.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of good New Orleans comics. I can name four.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Who comes to mind?
Norman.
Mm-hmm.
Ariel Elias.
Ariel.
Yeah. Ariel.
Yeah.
Scotland.
Yep.
Scotland. Him.
You. There you go. That's the
There's
four.
The four.
I included you.
Julie Mitchell.
Julie Mitchell's from there you go.
Sean Patton.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the big one. The best. Yeah. God, Sean Patton's so fucking great.
Listen, if this podcast is anything, it's a platform for us to say Sean Patton is a good comedian.
He's a good comedian.
I like a lot. That's how you end every podcast.
Yeah. And thank you so much for listening. And also, Sean Patton's really great.
Sean Patton's a good comedian. He has two sets I saw of his that are in my mind as two of the best sets I've ever seen.
Wow.
And they're both at the Nitty Factory.
Oh, shit.
Oh, I might have been there for one of these. I know he's done that a lot of times, but I remember.
He went up after Hasan Minhaj.
I didn't see that one.
Oh, he went up. It was way before his Netflix special came out. I think it might have been right when Hasan Minhaj just became like a Daily Show guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he went up and crushed with like topical kind of political stuff that was really good. And then Sean went up after him and was just like a rage, like a crazy high energy monster. And it was just like, I can't even remember any of the jokes, but it was like,
sure.
I was just like, just watching it. It was like, I've never seen anyone. Cause it was like, Hasan had like a crazy, like it was like a thing where I was like, I've never seen a set like that before.
Right.
And then Sean went up after him and I was like, oh, that set was dog shit.
Yeah.
It was like an amazing set.
Of course.
But it was
course.
Like, and then it was
comparatively.
Like, yeah.
That's just so impressive to do that after someone who did well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did very well.
Yeah.
In my head, what happened, he was just like, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like he goes in every show like, I'm going to be the best comic on the show. I don't know that. I just, that's how it feels. I don't, you know, he's, and not in a competitive douchey way. I just think he like really likes to bring it. I just think he like likes to like really, especially a show like that where there's like people there for it. It's not a regular bar show.
Correct.
I think it's just so fucking cool.
And I saw him, the first time I saw him live was at the Knitting Factory when Hannibal was still the host.
Oh, wow.
I was still living on Long Island. I think I just started. I was probably in like in comedy like a year or so. And I remember my girlfriend and I at the time drove in because we were like, because Kyle Kinane was on the show and we both really like him. So we're like, okay, we'll go
see
that.
That's so sick.
Yeah. So we're like, okay, cool. We'll go see Kyle Kinane. And Sean Patton was on and he did this super long joke. It was about like emotional sexual positions and just talking about like, it was so long. It was like the setup was so long. He's like, and you're there and you're just like looking in her eyes. And it's like for like probably like a minute and a half. And then he goes, and then you drown her in your cum. You have a bucket of cum under the bed and you drown her in it. And he's screaming. And I was just like, because it was like such a, like now I'm like, okay, I can maybe kind of see it coming, but it's still like,
yeah.
You didn't at all. And it was, I was like hyperventilating. I was laughing so hard. And I was just like, comedy is the thing for me.
Right. I'm talking about cum.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to Knit, I think twice before I started stand up. Oh, and wow. Hannibal was still hosting. I think he just handed it over, actually, because they were there. Clark and all the guys were there.
Yeah.
And I remember being by the door, and I think Che went up and someone else. But I remember, like, seeing everyone scurry back to the DJ booth corner. And I'm like, one day I'll be back there.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, it's colder here. The air conditioner is really fucking blasting in this corner. It sucks.
Well, the barbacks seem to be – I seem to really be in their way all the time. Yeah. They don't like it either.
I hate it.
Yeah, so it's not a normal – that's not a normal, like, bar show, obviously.
No.
But I was at a wedding with my
girlfriend.
Hey, thank you. No, it was with my girlfriend, not with my wife.
I was at a wedding with my fiance. Well, I guess she's my wife now. Anyway.
And someone at the wedding found out that I was a comedian and –
because you handed him your card?
I mean, what else are weddings for? Yeah. I was walking around going, hello, James Hamilton. I'm a comedian.
Comedian by trade.
I'm just trying to get in on some of the toasts later. So if you could maybe put in a good word. So she came up and she was like, hey, do you know the show at the Knitting Factory?
Whoa.
I was like, yeah, I do. And that's a very – when people say, oh, I heard you're a comedian, you're like braced for the worst, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You're
usually,
like, this is going to go poorly. And what a specific reference this was. And I was like, this is so interesting. And she's like, yeah, I live close to the Knitting Factory, so I go, like, every week. And I was like, well, that's interesting. And she's like, and I've noticed that the women are not as funny as the men. And I was like, oh, no, am I going to have to mansplain this to you? I really was like, what?
Pardon?
And she...
Like, all of them?
She said that the women are talk too much about vaginas, and that it gets gross more often than men. And I was like, have you heard male comedians ever?
Yeah.
I mean, the joke we just talked about is like about a literal bucket of cum.
Yeah.
Like,
she's like, no, but that's funny.
Yeah. There was a lot of unpacking that had to happen.
Yeah. So you're saying all of the women that have ever done this show are less funny than all of the men that have ever done this show.
Because I've heard this argument before where like women talk a lot about their vaginas and that's gross. Well, it's like, you know, that's because we're taught to think that's gross. Like that's not, is that more or less gross than men stuff? It's just how
okay,
it looks.
But.
Well, yeah, I know. It's disgusting. And I don't like it.
I also think that it's like the, yeah, I guess for me it's, yeah, it's just so deeply. There's so
did
much.
Did she name
going
any names
on.
Of like people she's seen? Women
no,
she's seen that's so
no.
funny.
And I probably wouldn't say those anyway. But
right.
She didn't say anybody in particular. But it was really. I feel like we had a decent conversation about it. But I do feel like that was clearly like years of conditioning that went into this moment that doesn't even statistically make sense.
No,
it's crazy. Like some of my favorite comedians date female comics.
God damn it! I was like, "Where is this going?" And you got me. I remember once, like right when I first started comedy, I was
there was like a guy who is not really a friend of mine, but was like around all the time, who I really had to tolerate.
Is it Leif? No.
I would never say Leif was a friend of mine. Leif is a business associate that's draining the life from me. I like him enough. But no, this dude, and I remember he just was like, yeah, just women just aren't funny. And I just was like, you're wrong! Just like, I couldn't even have
a civil debate. Yeah.
And I was just like, no! You're wrong! Yeah. And I listed like 10 female comedians immediately. And he's like, oh, I never heard of any of them. I was like, you've never heard of Maria Bamford? He's like, yeah. I was like, I can't even talk to you.
Yeah, I think it's people's understanding of what comedy is so small.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's 14 people probably.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, you know, four of them, depending on who you're talking to, is like either George Carlin or, you know, so like, yeah.
Yeah. I got cornered at a party recently. It was my
any story that starts with being cornered at a party.
Yeah,
I'm here for it.
It was
I got cornered and they blew me.
Oh God, I wish. I mean, not who I'm going to say. I just wish that I was blown at this in this story. But it was my friend's surprise 30th birthday party, and they had it at his mom's house. So we were there. We got there early, and then somebody said that because I've never like I'm a comedian. I'm like no, I'm a dog walker, and that's it.
Yeah,
and also I'm not even really good at that. But then somebody said that I was a comedian. I was like, fuck you. And then, like, I had to talk to his mom about comedy for, like, 35, 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But she was like, oh, yeah, I did the class at the comic strip. So she had, like, done, like, bringer shows and stuff. And it was like, I was like, okay. But then also I was like, I just really don't want – I really would like to spend one day not talking about comedy.
Right.
My whole life. I just, like, took the train to Long Island to, like – have a nice day with my friends for and
I'm not sure what I dislike more because I'm so used to people fucking talking to me about fighting, but they're so wrong almost 100% of the time. It makes me angry
about fighting.
About fighting, yeah. And they'll like give me their opinions and they're like, "Why didn't this fighter do this?" It's like, "Cause you're dumb. Why do you even think you could?" But like, most people never fight in general.
Yeah,
some people are kind of funny sometimes. So yeah. they think they get an idea of what it is. So it's like, I can see that at least giving them... I can see where the confidence that's unearned, but I can see where it comes from.
For me, I was a teacher for years and years, and being a teacher and being a comedian to me has always been the same because everybody on the outside is like, oh, yeah, I could do that.
Uh-huh.
And because the people who are good at it, at both of these, make both of them look very easy.
Yeah.
So it looks very effortless. And everybody has an opinion because everybody's had a teacher and everybody's laughed before.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is this sense of like, no. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they always act like, not always, okay. A lot of times they act like the I get it thing is like they're like it's just you and them. Like, everyone else is an idiot, but you and I, I'm like, no, you're an idiot, too.
You're also wrong.
You haven't crossed that line yet.
Yeah,
you haven't done the work to cross the line. Not that I was, like, naturally born across the line. Like, you haven't put the work in. That's all it is, usually. Yeah. And that's infuriating. But I also, I while you're talking, I'm like, because I get that all the time about fighting at open mics.
Really?
And, it's like, I get comedians, like, cornering me about fighting stuff. And it's like...
Like, they want to talk about, like, UFC stuff or just, like...
Fighting stuff, both in terms of what they saw, like a boxing match or UFC fight, or like street fighting stuff. And it's like, why can't you see you're doing the tell me a joke, but with fighting to me?
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
And it's like, I wouldn't mind if it's someone like, someone who's like an actual fan of it. Like, even if they didn't fight, someone who's like an actual fan, like kind of knows enough. I'm like, oh yeah, did you see that fight? Yes. Blah, 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 blah. But a lot of times it's just like, why doesn't Mayweather fight McGregor again? I'm like, I don't, there's so many answers to this.
Yeah. Because it's like, never like, because it's never, did you see this fight? Yes. Why did this person do this?
Yeah.
It's never like, not even like an educated question, but just like, it's to make a conversation.
Yes.
Not to set themselves up to make a point.
Absolutely.
That they have already planned in their head.
Yeah.
Like, well, I think, but it's like, just fucking say the thing
just
then.
Just say the thing.
Don't even ask me the question. Just say the thing.
I pointed out to a kid, because school started again, so I'm walking the kids again.
Yeah.
And the kid's like, when's your birthday? And I tell him my birthday. He goes, mine is this. I'm like, did you want to just tell me your birthday? He goes, what? I'm like, did you ask because you wanted to know my birthday? Or did you ask because you wanted to tell me your birthday? And he's like, I wanted to know your birthday. I'm like, you're lying. You just tell me your birthday. It's okay. I want to know your birthday. And he's like,
how
okay.
old is this kid?
Six.
Oh, yeah. This kid is going to spiral out for weeks. He's going to be like, what did I want?
Yeah. What's the age range of the kids you pick up?
Five to nine.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah. Around there.
That's like a real interesting age, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because they're just like, because they're, that's when they're becoming like people.
Yeah.
Like the small, like the 5-year-olds and stuff. Yeah, the 9-year-olds are kind of, you know.
I like nine and, I taught fourth grade for a long time, which is like 9 and 10. And I always liked fourth graders because they had all the little kid qualities, but then they were also like, they were starting to have like higher level thinking capacities. I remember this like tiny kid who was like so immature in my class. He would cry and all the time, and he was constantly
why'd
like,
you hit him
losing
so much?
Things. Yeah, it's a fair point. But then one time I remember asking him, we were reading a book about slave songs, about like how slave songs were used to communicate. And I said, how is this book similar to the last book we read, which was The Diary of Anne Frank? And he was the one who raised his hand and said, these are similar because they both had their own type of silence.
Oh my God.
And I was I was like, I think you graduated. I think you're done.
Yeah, wow.
Finished school.
I know people who went all the way through college who aren't incapable of that thought.
Wow.
I mean, like, they're both books.
I didn't finish either book.
Yeah.
My head hurt. Have people in them, humans.
My head hurt both times.
That's great. How long did you teach for?
I taught in different capacities for like 8 years.
Whoa. Yeah. When did you start?
Well, I taught. So when I say different capacities, I did like a pair. I was like a paraprofessional. So like a teacher's assistant in my last 2 years of college. Mm-hmm. So I did severe needs special education for 2 years while I was in college.
That's what I have.
That's what you
eat. I have severe needs. Yeah.
Me too, but just emotionally.
I need a lot of physical touching, please.
Yeah. And then I moved to New Orleans, was a teacher for a number of years, taught fourth, fifth grade, and then high school special ed as well.
How old when you started teaching high school?
I was like 29.
Okay.
Yeah, I never had that moment where you're like, oh man, these kids are pretty much the same as me developmentally.
Dude, my one of my very good friends and listener, Scott Hensel. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
He... like immediately after we graduated, started subbing in the same high school.
Yeah,
and he's just like, what? Like, I think people when you're the same, like basically the same age, they expect you to be like the cool guy. And he's like, nah, I'm not playing that game at all. Yeah. I'm very serious now.
Yeah, well, you have to be because you'll get. When I was in college and I was working as this like paraprofessional, I got sent to my old middle school.
Oh man,
and I was 21 or something, and nobody knew what to make of me being
sure
because I wasn't a full teacher, so that you know, my old teachers didn't have to treat me like an equal, but I also wasn't a kid. It was very confusing for everybody.
Where did you eat lunch?
Where with the kids? Now I realize
you're still
I was
nerdy
tricked.
Yeah.
I also realized they never paid me.
I think
I just went back to middle school.
You got Billy Madison.
I got Billy Madison.
That's what we call it.
Ah, man. I have been Billy Madison numerous times. It's always happening.
That has one of my favorite scenes in a movie where the dad's sitting Billy Madison down and somehow like he's irresponsible. And he's like, look at your clothes or something like that. And he's like, this isn't even my shirt. This is Frank's shirt. And there's a beat. And the dad starts talking. And he just lifts up the bottom of his shirt. It's Frank on the inside of the shirt. But like the beat is what made it so good because it was like a weird pause. He just shows everyone.
How old were you when you realized what a great joke that was? Early on? Or did you rewatch it?
I laughed. I remember laughing at it, but I couldn't tell why.
Yeah.
But like rewatching it, I was like, oh, that's a very good joke.
Yeah. That's how I felt. Maybe 2 years ago or something, I rewatched Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, God. Dude, I've been talking about Dumb and Dumber all day.
Yeah. And I was blown away. Because I was like, this is still funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's better than I remember. There's like all these little, like the whole John Deere letter thing and like things that I wouldn't have caught when I was a kid that I'm like, this is great.
Yeah. Somehow I don't pay attention. I wasn't listening.
Yeah, exactly.
It's for me, like the rewatch, there's like four movies all from that time that all have stood the test of time or gotten better. And it's Dumb and Dumber, Billy Madison, Wayne's World, and Tommy Boy. Like all four of those still, of course, all four extremely white men movies.
Oh, wow.
But they all like hold the test of time. Or actually, I mean, I always liked it as a kid, but I like a couple of years. Maybe did we rewatch it recently? Coming to America.
Yeah, we watched it like twice. So.
Yeah, oh, where God, it's like that. Beautiful. I can't believe that is the I think minute for minute the funniest movie that's ever existed.
Yeah,
is Coming to America. It's only jokes.
Yeah.
The whole time, and it's crazy
yeah.
how many there are and how good they all are.
And you, I think we feel the same thing that there should be a spinoff of just the barbershop.
Just yeah,
it's just so
just the barbershop.
Fucking,
I mean,
yeah, yeah.
Joe Louis is 136 years old. It's just, it's so good. It's so fucking funny.
I just watched, is it Trading Places?
Yeah.
Oh, Trading Places. We rewatched that recently.
Yeah, I just watched it like in the last few months. Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah.
A brutal rewatch in 2018.
Yeah. Well, what was interesting to me was realizing just like there are moments where being this far out where you're reminded of like why Eddie Murphy was as famous as he was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You have these moments where whenever he's on screen where you're just like, what? How are you like transcendent like this?
Yeah.
You're like, I don't understand. It's but crazy. Then you have these the star quality is just like
off the charts.
Through the roof. Actually, side thing. Have either of you within the last year listened to Whitney Houston?
Yeah. All the time.
No.
Yeah. You should do it. Like you should listen to early Whitney Houston, like How Will I Know, that mm-hmm. song.
Okay.
And pretend. Go into your brain. Pretend that you have never heard Whitney Houston before.
Okay.
Like that you were at the time and you just heard this song on the radio and then just be like, how would I respond if this song just came on the radio?
Right.
Because you'd be like, holy shit.
Yeah. You'd pull the car over and you'd be like, I don't know how to look this up because the internet doesn't exist yet, but I'm shook to my core.
I remember watching a video about someone explaining how good of it, like, technically how good of a singer she really is.
Yeah.
And I'm not being able to understand it because I don't know the technical terms, but being very impressed.
Yeah.
And the greatest, and I genuinely mean this, the best performance of music I've ever seen was on a cruise ship where this like Filipino band just did covers.
Yeah.
And they had to play at a certain time. They had to play no matter who was there. There was no one in the room except for me and my seven friends. We kind of just stumbled in.
Huh.
And they sang the Bodyguard song.
I'll always love you.
And she crushed it.
Yeah.
Like to the point where like we're all kind of like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then they did U2's With or Without You. And he crushed it. Because as a duo, like a guy.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm like, this is fucking insane. This is the best man I've ever seen.
And they're just playing to no one.
And they're playing to no one on a cruise ship that's off season.
The only way you could afford, guys,
only way I could afford a fucking.
How many of the world's greatest greatest artists have just squandered away at sea,
dude? I mean, before we lose sight, the Trading Places, it's crazy the star quality. Both Eddie Murphy and Jamie Lee Curtis's perfect tits. That film. Jesus Christ!
Dude, we watched because I had seen it before. Had you seen it before when we watched it?
Tell me the movie.
Trading Places.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So we watched it maybe like 9 months ago.
Yeah, I would say so.
With someone who is a good deal younger than us and very woke. And they had a real hard time watching the movie with us.
Yeah. Well, that's how I feel about listening to Eddie Murphy's stand-up special.
Oh, yeah.
Is that I didn't listen to them when I was younger. So the first time I listened to them, I was maybe 27 or 28.
And you're like, how can I mail this person money?
Yeah. The first bit I hear is the one where he says a gay slur.
Yeah, yeah.
20 times.
Yeah.
Easily.
That's conservative.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I just was like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
If I had seen Trading Places for the first time now, I'd be like, this movie is reprehensible.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But the fact that I had already seen it, I was like, I was still like, this is rough. It was a real rough rewatch. Yeah. But I was like, I guess there's like a place in time. I was like, I don't think I ever need to watch this movie again.
Yeah. That I really asked myself that. You know, I'm wrestling with that the whole movie. I'm like, is this worth the rewatch is this, and then there's the blackface scene, and you're like, nope, okay.
Oh, yeah, Dan Aykroyd
settled
as a Rastafarian.
Yeah.
Guy. Oh boy.
Wait, what is that? Silver Streak. You ever seen that? The yeah. Richard Pryor and what's his name?
I don't know. His name.
Gene Wilder movie.
Oh.
And
no,
a scene,
I haven't seen that one.
There's a scene where they do it where Gene. Are you thinking of Blue Streak?
No. I think you're thinking of the wrong movie. The Western.
No, that's Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles. Okay, I'm mistaken.
Silver Streak.
Yes, you're correct. Yes, yes.
It's a movie, and there's a scene where Gene Wilder has to pretend to be Richard Pryor, so they put him in blackface, and he is like carrying a boombox and like quote unquote walking black, and he's like. He's, one of the quotes is like, I'm so cool. I'm like macaroni, which doesn't make any sense. But it's so brutal. You're just like, I guess this is like, you know, it was like definitely edgy at the time.
Yeah.
And it's a thing where it's like, we kind of talked about this the other day. We talked about why the Everyone in Always Sunny
right.
has never gotten in trouble for doing blackface on the show.
They did the Lethal Weapon and they did blackface both D and Mac did blackface.
Both did
and it's
blackface.
Like, no one's like, no one gives a shit.
Oh, wow.
And you brought the great point.
I think it's that the characters in Always Sunny, the whole caveat of the whole show is that these are the worst people
that have ever
existed. So it's like these characters think this is okay.
So they are the joke. Inherently, the characters are the joke.
I think
not like Gene Wilder being like, look at what this caricature is.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think it's a thing where – but even the Gene Wilder thing is like – it's – the whole thing is like Richard Pryor was also there. And I think if it was a thing where it was a bridge too far, I think of anyone, Richard Pryor would have been like, I don't know about this. But the Always Sunny thing, I think the thing is I don't – anyone doing blackface makes me very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Except – Billy Crystal. No, I fucking hate it. Billy Crystal doing Sammy Davis Jr. is one of my least favorite things.
Yeah. Oh, really?
In the entire world. I hate
it. In particular.
I think I just don't like Billy Crystal. Same. And the fact that he has done blackface so much unscathed. No one even brings it up in the pantheon of bad blackface.
Yeah.
But
I forget about it.
Yeah. Oh, it's brutal. Also, his jazz man character. Oh, my God. That's like a weird – it's really bad. But yeah, the Always Sunny thing, I think it's that – yeah, it's like these characters are the worst people and they think that this is okay, but we're obviously showing it to you in a way that is like we know it's not okay.
Right.
But these people think it is and that's the joke.
Right.
That they're so terrible that they think this is okay.
I'm remembering now that there's – they all went on Conan and talked about it.
Yeah.
I can't remember what they say. I got to rewatch it.
Yeah.
But it's definitely like – this is weird. You got no one cares about them for some reason doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and again, no one being the internet as a whole. I haven't seen any uproar about them specifically.
Yeah.
I'm sure if I asked someone, like, is this upsetting? Like, yeah. I'm like, all right. Yeah. Well, I guess it's one person, but I'm sure there's more. I'm not saying that. Obviously, I'm a good person.
The collective consciousness has not brought it up as a point of contention.
Exactly. They bring up the Kimmel as Shaq or as Karl Malone. They bring up Fallon as Chris Rock.
Yeah.
What's the most other famous one?
Yeah, there's like one recently that I am trying to like. That's
well, the,
the Halloween costumes of people that they'll always show.
Ashton Kutcher did like
brown face.
He was like a Middle Eastern guy.
It was crazy. Like a Pakistani guy.
Yeah, like Pakistani or like Indian guy. Like like a really...
Yeah.
Like a Apu level...
Yeah.
Really?
Offensive accent.
There's a really good episode of Master of None about it. About brown face in general.
Oh, yeah. Got it.
Really good show.
Okay, the thing is, I don't love the show, but that main actor. I mean, he seems like such a good guy. Please don't end the episode
on that.
Okay.
For a long time, I when I first moved to New York, I was working at a food stand at Smorgasburg.
Oh, okay.
Food market.
If you can tell.
Yeah, it's the restaurant's called Beehive. So it's a southern restaurant that's in Williamsburg, and they started at Smorgasburg. So I was working there, and I made a sandwich. Somebody came up and was like, we're going to use this on set. And I was like, oh, what are you filming? And then it was Master of None. Right behind me, they filmed this thing. And it was with my sandwich, and that's still my greatest credit.
That's a great credit.
My sandwich was on. Thank you so much.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I mean, most of my credits have an asterisk next to them.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I was I did a thing for MTV's Facebook, and I did a show, and they're like, "Oh, what do you want me to say?" I'm like, "I just say MTV," and the host, for some reason, has like a really aggressive energy while he's bringing it up. He's like, "Your next comic has been on MTV." Not MTV 2, MTV, the main one. And I go on stage, I'm like, well, honestly, I was on MTV's Facebook page, but, you know, whatever. And the audience made a weird noise. I'm like, oh, have you been on their Facebook page? Great. It was very fun.
Yeah, like all of my credits are like IFC's YouTube channel.
That's fine. You
know. That was almost your second laugh.
That was almost a second laugh.
Had you landed that.
Had I landed it.
The second
that
would have
been your second laugh.
God damn it.
Dude, you got to keep trying, man.
I got a couple shows lined up this year.
Dude, I think you should try this. He's not doing it anymore. You should try that Eddie Murphy bit.
Oh, all right.
The one where he opens.
Yeah, the opening one he has.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or you should go dress as a Rastafarian because
oh, that would be fun.
There's a lot of humor in there.
Yeah. Hey, man.
Why didn't they
just do that? That's your opener.
Why didn't they just let Eddie Murphy play the Rastafarian guy in that scene?
That's a very good question.
I mean, I think that's what the joke was supposed to be.
All right.
You see how the humor is in it?
Yeah. James, thank you so much for being a guest on our, I think, perfect podcast. People who are so impressed with the things you said today find you on the internet so they can Venmo you or retweet you or like your Facebook statuses?
Yeah, so best thing would be probably Twitter, which is at the Jam Ham.
Mm-hmm.
So James Hamilton. Abbreviates to Jam Ham, the Jam Ham. And then I'm on Facebook too. So you can find me there.
Yeah.
And then message me and we can clear up the money thing. I like to do things off the book though.
Oh, that's so very smart. Very smart.
Yeah, I would prefer to keep things off the book.
Yeah. I'm all Venmo.
Oh.
That's the only way I get paid.
For anything.
For anything.
Do you get paid for things?
Occasionally.
Follow me at This Diego Lopez on both Twitter and Instagram. Follow Mike at Mike Abruzzi. Please check out brainmachinenetwork.com for the things you need that are related to podcasts. Bear with Leif also on Instagram, and he does not have Twitter, I don't believe.
He does.
Bear with Leif on Twitter.
Bear with Leif is now on Twitter. That's give him a fucking follow, bitch. I love you so much. Please, 5-star rate and review. We haven't gotten one of those in a little while. It would mean a lot to me if you just popped out your phone real quick and went to podcasts and typed our name in and then just wrote, "This podcast makes me horny. God
Very
bless America."
Horny. 69 stars.
69
for
stars.
The boys.
All right. God bless. Big kiss. Bye bye.
Welcome to BrainMachineNetwork.com.